You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Amazing. Well, we're doing a series at the moment on Genesis chapter, 12, 15, 17, and chapters 19. It's a great sequence of God's promises to Abraham. And Lee kicked us off last week. He's on holiday this week. I mean, talk about bad timing. Pastor Lee and Lizandri, what are you doing? I don't know who approves their holidays. But anyway, we kind of didn't know the timing would correlate so significantly. And so they're going to be back next Sunday at the end of their holiday. It's like, you can't miss the last Sunday. And so they're off, but they're not off next week. And so they're going to be here to celebrate. Emily's going to be with you next week as well. And so I'll take a carpet tile. She'll take like one of these panels that we built or something next week, or maybe a speaker. That's what we'll do. No, we need those. But we're talking about Genesis 12, 15, 17, 19. And what you read there is you read 25 years of God's promise coming to Abraham. And last week, Pastor Lee started in Genesis 15, verse 5. Look up at the sky, count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And the series is Open Skies. You know, we're just having a prolonged summer. Must be the best one for a long time. And you wake up in the morning and what can we see? Blue skies. And the sun is amazing. We look up and we see open skies, and we want to encourage you just to wake up in the morning and look up and just think, God, what have you got for me today? What's God got in this next season of my life that's going to accelerate everything he's put in my life? And that was the promises that were coming progressively to Abraham. Abraham, don't be confined with what's around you, but get your head up, look up. And Lee was encouraging us to dream and imagine and pray again and think about the goodness of God that he's got for us. And we're going to continue the series. And today we're going to rewind the clock in the narrative to Genesis chapter 12. And we see right at the start of God's promises to Abraham, what was the word that God brought to Abraham that kickstarted this whole thing? And so we're going to look at that today. And the message today is not look up, but look out. Look out. And I think what we're doing across the road is about looking up, and it's more about looking out. And so let's just pray one last time. God, we just thank you that we get to be here. Thank you, God, that you time this so well. I get to be here, God, and thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you that we've all played a part in this story. And as we look across the road, God, we know you've got bigger things planned for us. And God, that building represents, God, not just us being bigger, but us having a bigger vision for this city and this region, that this church is not about us. It's about everybody else. Help us not just to look up and think about our dreams and our plans and what you've got for us, but help us, God. May we always be driven and motivated and wake up with that thought, what about everybody else? Help us to look up, but more importantly, help us to look out in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, last week we went on a staff trip to Alton Towers, and it was fun, and we just celebrate at the end of every year what God's been doing in our church and as a staff team. You know, people like Josh and Abby and others in the room work so hard, and again, their diligence and faithfulness making this happen. And so we want to celebrate as staff. We went to Alton Towers this time, and you know my story. I my first ride was 26 years old, so just last year. Don't laugh too much. No, but I actually worked out this year, it's not actually the rides themselves that freaked me out. I'm fine once you're on the ride. What for me, what's difficult, other than the teacups, those things, that is the worst ride at Alton Towers. You know the one that five-year-olds go on? Do not ever go on teacups. If you put me on that, if I was eternally on the teacups, that is hell to me. Eternal punishment right there. So stay away from the teacups. But the other stuff, I'm all right if you're on a track. What do they call them? Roller coasters, thank you. I'm all right with that. The thing that I've worked out I don't like is not the ride itself. It's not knowing where the ride's going to take me. That's what freaks me out. And so I went on one of the rides for the first time this year, and I was like, I'm going to be okay with the ride. What I'm not okay with is not knowing what it's going to do to me. And so I just spent the whole 90 minutes in the queue just surveying the queue. Right, tell me about the ride. What does it do? Where does it take me? Oh, this one drops you, then you go back. And then I'm like, cool, all right, I can take it. And the truth is, a lot of us are like that. We need to know what the next thing is before we engage with it. What we're not really concerned about necessarily is believing God for more or having faith for the next. But what we often, as our human nature takes control, is we want to know the details of what's next. We want to, and so the reason we prefer familiarity is because we know what to expect. We know how to operate. We know how to be. And really, the danger of that is familiar places can be the most dangerous places. They talk about, even in road accidents, a lot of road accidents are caused within 1 mile of people's homes because they're the most familiar places. And with familiarity, it breeds contempt. And so we know the routine, we know the schedule, we know how this operates, and we can be at our most vulnerable when we're in our most familiar territory. And God's word in Genesis 12, before he even encouraged him to look up, was God encouraged Abraham to look out, to think beyond his familiarity. And we're going to read in Genesis 12, verse 1 to 6. You can turn there if you have your Bible with you. It says, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, leave your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. Get on the ride. It will become clear when you sit on the ride. I'm not going to give you the details because familiarity is going to stop you from what I've called you to do. So he says, leave your country, go, and I will make you into a great nation. I will then bless you. I will then make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham went, obedience, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he left from Haran. He took his wife, Sarai, his nephew, Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, all the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree at Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were still in the land. So Abraham here is 75 years old. And the first time God comes to him with a specific promise about what's next for him, God is saying, before I speak to you, before I encourage you, before I give you a plan, before I give you a strategy, before I even show you what you're about to inherit, I need you to leave what's familiar. I need you to leave this comfortable place. I need you to step out, because if God is going to cause us to break through, then often what God needs to do is for us to leave the familiar. If we're going to break out into something of what God has next for us, then we've got to move out from everything that we know. And so God's word comes to Abraham in Genesis 12, before I give you a promise, I need you to step out of what you're comfortable in. And so we've got to be people that understand if we want to be part of on this lifelong pursuit of discovering God's plans and purposes for our life, then we've got to consistently ask God, God, what is the familiar for me that is holding me back from stepping into what you have for me? And that doesn't always mean a geographical move, but it may do. It may not mean that you need to change circumstantial things, but it may do. Often it can be our own set of beliefs or even our mindsets that are keeping us in routine and familiar territory and stopping us from stepping into everything that God has for us. And so God says to Abraham and says to us, leave your familiar territory. You've got to leave it behind if you're going to inherit what I have for you. And he asks him to look out. When we look out, the first thing that I think we need to see is when I look out, I see beyond myself. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. In other words, I've got something for you, Abraham, but it's not about you, Abraham. I've got a great nation for you. And when you look out, what you're doing is you're saying, God, speak to me, but it's not really about me. Speak to me, but it's not really for me. God, give me a vision, but the vision is not really for me. Give me a word that encourages me, but it's not really for me. Because when God speaks and he wants us to be people that don't just look up, but look out, we understand that God's word comes to us not for our life, but for a nation. And Abraham is hearing God speak to him, not for his own benefit, but for a benefit of a nation not yet born. I will make you, Abraham, into a great nation. I will bless you and I will make your name great, but you will be a blessing. And for every one of us in this room, there are cities and nations within us. When God speaks to us, you unlock something that's way bigger and way beyond yourself. When you look out and you see not just what's familiar to me, but God, I want to be exposed to something beyond my familiar. What you're doing is saying, God, maybe I can be part of saving a city or a nation. And we've got to be a people that look beyond ourselves. I'm going to do something right now. And for posterity, I'm going to take a picture of this room. And we're going to be doing many photos just to capture what God's been doing. But first one I'm going to do is a selfie. Everyone get in. Just squeeze in a little bit, the sides. Let's just make sure we've got you all in. Best face. There we go. And another one. There we go. Now I'm going to take one this way. Did you know selfies are the most common photos in a millennial's photo display? But even more than that, Gen Z takes 3 times more selfies than a millennial. Easy for me to say. 92 million selfies are taken every year. Isn't that amazing? But the problem with a selfie is the focus of a selfie is you. How do you judge the quality of a selfie? How good who looks? You don't check everybody else. I'm not going to look at that photo and I'll send you that later. But I don't look at that photo and go, oh, Jamie looks a bit weird there. I mean, I will. But your first focus is me. But when you turn the camera around, your focus is actually on what you should be taking the picture of, the environment that you're in. That's really why you're taking the picture. But in our lives, we can be so consumed by ourselves that our attention is taken off the very environments that God's put us in. And so when God wants us to capture this moment, but we're taking it through the lens of a selfie, we've taken our eyes off the environment that God's gifted to us, and rather our whole focus is, how did I look in that picture? And the same's true when we understand God's word correctly. We're not viewing it as a selfie. God is not speaking to us primarily and firstly for our own benefit. God is trying to give you a wide and broad perspective for you to step into, for you to enjoy, for you to influence. And so when we hear God correctly, what we do is we're looking beyond ourselves. So let's not just look up for our own benefit, but may we be people that look up to look out. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I wonder if you were honest with yourself and you could spend time this week answering this question, but what is your goal in the years that God has given you on this planet? What would you say is success for you? What is it that you're trying to pursue? And if you reach that pursuit, you'll be able to say, okay, my life has meant something. My life has counted for something. I wonder if we're really honest, how many of those goals or pursuits would be so self-focused rather than being about something bigger than us? Again, let's have God speak to us and understand the reason he speaks is so that we can look beyond myself. Can you say amen? Second thing is, when I look out, I see beyond my excuses. Genesis 12 verse 4, Abraham went as the Lord had told him and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. 75 years old when he left everything that he had built in his life. 75 years old when he made the decision to speak to his family, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do what? 75 years old when he looked around at everything that he'd accumulated, at the land that he was living in, at everything that was comfortable and familiar. He was 75 years old when he considered God's voice was more significant than everything that he'd built to this point in his life. If I'm going to live the faith life, I've just simply got to do what God calls me to do. And as long as I'm doing what God calls me to do, he'll take care of the rest. Isn't that so easy for us to say when we're in our comfortable situations? It's easy for us to say, God, I just believe Matthew 6:33 that if I seek first the kingdom of God, all else will be added to me. There's something different when we say, okay, God, I'm going to, for this moment, put down what's familiar. I'm going to look out again, and I'm going to step out, and then to say, God, right now, if I seek you first, then you will take care of everything else. And this is that moment. Abraham is on the edge and speaking to his family and speaking to his extended family and speaking to all the people around him. As they're starting to pack things down, this is where they understand, wow, we've got more than enough excuses to stay where we are. I am 75 years old. We got a couple in our Manchester campus who I've known for over 25 years. And I was 2 at the time, obviously do the maths from the ride thing. You know, but Dave and Ann Adams, some of you may know them. Anyone know? It's going to be a wave. You know Dave and Anne. Legends. They are legends of our church. I've known them. We were in Sheffield together 25 years ago. And Dave was retiring. He was a headmaster, wasn't he? The school in Sheffield. And at 60 years old, Dave and Anne made the decision to relocate, not to Rotherham, not to Manchester, but to Hungary. At 60 years old, like Dave and Anne, you've done so well in life, and you know this is the time to settle down. But Dave and Anne made a decision to move on their own to Hungary to be missionaries to help the local church there at 60 years of age. I think they spent 7 years in Hungary, and then they came back to join us in Manchester. And just think about Dave and Anne, who through their whole life have made a decision. God, we're just simply going to do what you call us to do. And if we do that, the logistics will catch up. Those things will, if we seek you first, then you will make sure everything takes care in our lives. And this is the attitude when we look out, we see beyond our excuses. Psalm 34 verse 3 says that we should magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord with me. You have two choices. You can magnify excuses. You can magnify, call them reasons if you want. It makes us feel better. We can magnify our problems even. We can magnify our disappointments. We can magnify our memories. But God says, no, no, no. As good, as difficult, as challenging, as all of those things have been real and tangible, and there's emotion attached to all of those things, I don't want you to magnify any of those things. What I want you to do is magnify the Lord. Because that which you magnify consumes your life. It directs your life. And if we magnify our problems, we will find out that our life follows and finds more problems. But if we magnify God, we will find that we live in pursuit of God and the things of God, and He always takes care of our life. And so we've got to be people, when we look out, we see beyond our excuses. Third thing is this: when I look out, it impacts the people around my life. Genesis 12, verse 5. Abraham took his wife, Sarai, and nephew Lot, all the possessions they'd accumulated, the people they'd acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And then they arrived there. He took his wife and he took his nephew. He took his immediate family with him. Abraham was not going alone. Abraham understood that a promise that came to him was going to have a direct impact on the people around his life. And the same is true when we're people that look up. God, give me a dream. Give me something bigger. Speak to me about something that's expansive. And then I understand that that word that comes to me is about others. And I look out. I understand that there's going to be a direct impact on the people closest to me. There is no word of God that comes to you that doesn't impact someone else. We've got to understand, when we are daring enough, when we are risky enough, when we have faith, that it impacts everybody around you. And Abraham understood the weight of hearing a word from God. And that's really what I want to leave you with today is that when you hear a word of God, you understand the impact of that word. And the thing about when you hear God speak to you, it will never leave you. I've had people throughout life, and you know, you see them come and go, and then 5 years later, we come across, we cross paths again, and you see them, and you're like, yeah, just seeing you, I'm reminded of 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And it's like, when God speaks, you can run as far as you want. You can ignore it as much as you try. but it will niggle away at you until you step out and you obey the word that God has put on your heart. And so when God speaks, it always stirs something within, and it brings a level of weight in our lives that we understand. We carry this word because the weight of it means it's going to impact other people. But the impact of others, if you're carrying a word from God, it's never a negative impact. It may cause a little bit of unsettling, instability, but faith is always unsettling. Faith is always causes a little bit of instability. So when we hear the word of God, we understand God, it's going to impact me, but it's also going to impact those around me. You know, there's things that my kids now live in that's a normal for them because I've had to make some choices in my life. And the same for every one of us. We live in a normal that was created by somebody else. And so when we are people of faith and we look out, we understand every decision that we make has an impact on everyone else. It's not just your faith moments that impact someone else. It's every single decision that you make, good or bad, is going to impact the people closest to you. Again, I talked about people that we cross paths 5 years, 10 years later, and some of those, they've drifted away from God and they come back, and I understand when we have a conversation and they're like, yeah, let's go back to those times, and I knew God has spoken to me there. And then you look at the people around their life in immediate proximity and you see sometimes the negative impact of the bad decisions they made. They had a decision point in life, and rather than step out in faith and obedience, they pull back to familiarity or comfort. And that could have been a belief system or mindset. It could have been just holding back from God. And the impact that they could have seen in faith, they've actually seen an impact in a lack of faith. And every decision that we make is weighty, not just faith decisions. I want to encourage you, every single week, we all make millions of decisions. I want to encourage you just to spend time this week just evaluating some of those bigger decisions that you make and understand every decision has consequence. I want to encourage you, when you make decisions of faith, you will see God bless not just your generation, but the next. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2. Paul said, I know your eagerness to help, and I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, Paul speaking, because your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. He was speaking about a church that's been impacted by the faith decisions of the church in Corinth. And what Paul was trying to communicate was, keep moving forward. Church, don't hold back. Keep accelerating. Keep going forward. You may look back and think, wow, should we carry on? Should we keep going? Should we keep stepping out in faith? But what about this? What about the familiar? What about the comfort? Are we going to have to leave that? Should we stay there? God's already done so much. And yet, no. As you keep moving forward, what you're doing is you're bringing people with you. And the church in Corinth that kept moving forward, kept stepping out in faith. There was a church in other places that were looking at them and going, if it's okay for them, then we're going to be all right. We can keep moving forward in faith. And what you do in your home, in your family, when you are people of faith, is every single person that's watching your life is looking and is inspired and is filled with a stirring of something of what God is doing in you. It impacts them. The last thing is this, is when you look out, it causes multiplication. Genesis 12, verse 5, he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they'd accumulated and the people they'd acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. See, Abraham started off just as one small family. But you know, over time, over this period of 25 years of God layering up promise and promise, and as he stepped out, and you know, the next generation that came along, before too long, we understand there was 600,000 people that were crossing into the promised land. From just one person hearing, look up at the stars, look out. Abraham, this is about not just you, this is about a nation that I've got for you. To fast forward a couple of decades and we see 600,000 people are crossing into the promised land. Talk about multiplication of faith, obedience, doing what God has called us to do. And what we're doing by simply crossing over the road, what we're doing is more than just stepping into a new building. It's more than just moving from a rented space to a purchased space. It's more than moving from this building that's been so good to us and housed so many miracles and salvation stories and God building his church in Chester and this region, more than moving to a physical space that's three times as large. What it's actually doing is saying, come on, do we want to be a people that just by making a physical step, we understand God is going to enlarge our capacity. He's going to enlarge our thinking. He's going to enlarge our impact. He's going to enlarge our resource. He's going to enlarge our dreams. What we've been able to do in this space, God doesn't just add, he doesn't just add a few things. No, God always multiplies. When God takes the lunch from the little boy, he doesn't just look for somebody else's lunch and try and add to what he's got. No, no, no. God lifts it up and he says, God, in your hands, you're able to multiply. God always multiplies. The parable of the sower. So, everything that you sow, you know, the parable was that only 25% of that which you sow is going to actually find good soil. But you watch what happens to the seed in the good soil. It will produce a harvest, not just four times, which is back to square one. It will produce a harvest 30, 50, 100 fold. So what we're doing, we're moving into a building three times the size for a 300 times multiplied impact. Who believes that we can truly impact a city and a region through what God is about to do? But in order to do that, we've got to look out. We've got to look out. Every person, just stand to your feet for a second. I want us right now to lift up our hands and just allow God to expand our thinking for a second. Just allow the Holy Spirit just to move in our hearts and our lives and our minds. God, come and move through every person. Lord God, may we hear your voice again come to us. God, we believe that you are a God who always multiplies. Deuteronomy says that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two put 10,000 to fly. God, your math doesn't often make sense. But God, we understand that when we put ourselves in your hands, God, you multiply our impact. When we gift our obedience to you, you multiply our obedience. When we put our gifts in your hand, you multiply the impact of our gifts with your anointing on our natural. God, it makes supernatural impact. And God, when we lay our lives down as a living sacrifice, God, it's holy and pleasing to you. And the impact of our life is multiplied. And so we pray, God, that we would always be a church, audacious church, that always thinks not just about ourselves, our own experience, our own history, our own comfort, our own services, God, our own encounters with you. But God, may we understand that all of those things that you give to us are a gift, but they're for a purpose for others. And so we pray that we would always look up and we would always look out. God, as we're on the eve of stepping into this new land that you have given to us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. It's beyond all that we could ever have thought or imagined that you could do. God, that we would take that land. God, we just right now, I pray you'd put dreams on our hearts that people in this room, it's going to be multiplied ministry impact as we step out. That this walk across the road for you is going to be a walk into the new gifting and calling that God has called you. That it's going to be incredible fruit in this next season that may even have been laying dormant, but it's been laying dormant for a purpose. And what God is going to do is he's going to resurrect some dreams in this place. He's going to resurrect some gifting. And that which you thought it was dead, God is going to breathe his life. He's going to breathe his life. And God, we're going to see incredible. We're going to see a building that is occupied 7 days a week, God. We're going to see ministries operate from that space where this city is going to find home in that building. This city is going to find refuge, that people are going to know about that space. If you need help, that's the place you go. And God, we just believe that this region, God, right on the edge of North Wales, that North Wales are going to travel to this space. And they're going to see, God, that the reach of that building is going to spread right the way across. What's that road? The A55? That's going to be like a river. God's anointing is going to flow from that building. God, we just believe you're going to cause us to accelerate. What's that road down to Wrexham? The A, what's that? What? 483, yeah. I'm just seeing the rivers flowing and even across the M50. What did I drive on today? M56? To Frodsham and all that area? Yeah. Lord God, we just believe, God, that what you're about to do is you're going to create an apostolic center that's going to have massive impact beyond all that we can think, ask, or imagine, God. Thank you, God. As we look out, would you expand our thinking, expand our capacity? Mark and Janet, your God is about to saturate you with a new anointing for a new season. Thank you, God, for the call and gift is irrevocable. Irrevocable. Mark, your voice is going to have supernatural multiplied impact. As you speak, there's going to be a new level of anointing from your voice. As you speak, there's going to be new levels of salvation. That the teaching that comes from you is going to cause the Bible, complex issues, to be made simple. Lord, I pray, thank you, God, for the Garrett family, God. And we thank you that the next generation runs with a greater degree of acceleration. Thank you, God, that you're going to cause the Garrett next generation and the one to come. God, multiplied, multiplied, multiplied. It's going to be laughable what you do. Laughable what you do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Come on, lift your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Come and move in this place. How many people you know you got a mercy gift on your life? You're just, your heart beats for those in need. Just wave at me right now. Wave. Mercy gift people. You know there's something on you. Yeah. Lord, I pray for the mercy gift in our church in this next season, God. That building is going to be almost like a center mercy operation running out. that people are going to run to that building. We pray for Linda. Who else was waving then? Others. So it's going to be just a place of refuge for people in our city. And Lord, may these people with the mercy gift on their life, we pray, God, as we begin to talk and strategize and think, may you just do anoint something in the conversations, that there would be new ministries that would make a massive impact in this city. Massive impact. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come on, fill us. Are you hungry today, church? Come on, if you're hungry, just begin to worship for a second. Just lift up the name of Jesus. Come on, every voice from front to back. Come on, lift up your own voice so your own ears can hear. Just declare the goodness of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Magnificent, you are my magnificent obsession. And no one else will take your place. God, you have my heart.
Thank you, Lord.
And I adore you.
Thank you, Jesus. I wonder, just as Holy Spirit's here, God's just speaking into your heart. I wonder if you ask this question, maybe you can spend time this week. If God had put something on my heart, if I could do one thing and I knew it would not fail, what would I do? If I could do one thing in my life and I knew it would not fail, what would it be? God, I pray that you'd cause us again in this new season that we're stepping into, there would be a new audacious faith, daring, bold, courageous, fearless, unrestrained by convention. They would challenge assumptions, God, even that we've made ourselves, the normals that we've created, as good as they've been to get us where we are. God, would you help us to go again? Believe again, have faith again. We pray, God, as we look up to you, we dream, we imagine, God, as we look out to this city and to this region, God, to England, to North Wales, God, that we'd just be stirred again. Stir our spirits, stir our spirits.
Thank you for listening to this audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.